to have people around you who love the Lord, who just want to serve the Lord for the fact of who He is, and not what they can get, but for who He is and what God is to them in their lives, and what the future holds for them. And so today I just want to spend some time and just read some scriptures. A lot of it's going to be just reading some scriptures with a little bit of comment. But as was said earlier on Tuesday, well, guys, you missed it Tuesday. Tuesday was an amazing Bible study. I didn't say a word. I could not get a word in edgeways. No way. I just sat there and watched. And I just thanked the Lord for what I saw, for what I heard, and just the fact of seeing growth, spiritual growth in people. And this is what coming together to gather around the Word of God does for us. It actually causes each and every one of us to grow. Amen. And that's why we're doing. And I thank God for David and Stephen, how they set it off and began to teach and to share and to expose people to the Word of God that they'd never seen before. And we've just followed on, and they'll continue on after me with another subject, as well as we keep pressing through and moving forward. And we just want to see each and every one of us being able to handle this Word of God with power, with ability to set the lives of captives free. And that's what we want. So I want you to turn to 1 Timothy and chapter 3, the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy. Chapter 3. And we're going to look at the qualifications laid down by Paul of an overseer within the church of God. We're going to look at the characteristics for leadership. So, I'll be okay if I got it right, book, didn't I? I'm going to read from the Amplified, actually, because it really brings it out well. Problem with the Amplified, it's the Amplified and another translation side by side, so you've got two of the same chapter. But it's good. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. The saying is true and irrefutable. If any man eagerly seeks the office of bishop, superintendent, overseer, he desires an excellent task work. Now, a bishop, superintendent, overseer must give no grounds for accusation, but must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, circumspect, temperate, and self-controlled. He must be sensible and well-behaved and dignified and lead an orderly, disciplined life. He must be hospitable, showing love for and being a friend to the believer, especially strangers or foreigners, and be a capable and qualified teacher. Wow. Some qualifications, some, you know, things we need to keep growing into and developing. Verse 3, not given to wine, not combative, not but gentle and considerate, not quarrelsome, but forbearing and peaceable, and not a lover of money, insatiated for wealth and ready to obtain it at any questionable means. Verse 4. He must rule his own household, keep his children under control with true dignity, commanding their respect in every way and keeping them respectful. For if a man does not know how to rule his own household, how is he then able to take care of the church of God? Verse 6. He must not be a new convert, or he may develop a cloud and be a stupid state of mind as the result of pride, being blinded by conceit, and fall into the condemnation that the devil once did. Pride, that's what caused the devil to fall. I will, it's me. It's all about me. It's not. It's all about Jesus in each and every one of us. Being Christ-like, made in his image. Hallelujah. Verse 8. In like manner, the deacons must be worthy of respect, not shifty, not double talkers. Are these guys shifty? Hey, we'll have to have a quick look at that and check that out, shan't we? Have we got a shifty, you know? Tapping of feet, winking of the eye, etc. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. We love them. And in like manner, the deacons must be worthy of respect, not shifty, double talkers, but sincere in what they say, not given to much wine or greedy, for base gain, craving wealth, and restoring to the ignoble and the dishonest methods of getting it. Resorting to the ignoble and dishonest methods of getting it. It's small print in this Bible. Verse 9. They must possess the mystic secret of the faith, Christian truth as hidden from ungodly men. Yeah. You see, the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God is hidden from ungodly men. Yeah. And it is there revealed for those who have come to faith. And God is constantly revealing more of himself to each and every one of us. They must have a clear conscience, it says. And let them also be tried and investigated and proved first. Then if they turn out to be above reproach, let them serve as deacons. I was once in a church where the local pastor said in the leadership meeting, he called in three men and he decided to invite them to become deacons within the church. And he asked the existing deacons if they were happy with his selection. And he read these qualifications and some more which we'll look into. And then he turned round and said, well, you may not operate in these giftings at the moment, but I believe in the future you will. And I'm like, well, if they're not operating in them, they're not deacons yet. And being fairly outspoken, I thought, well, I am going to say something. There was two of them that I believe were not yet ready. There was nothing wrong with them, but they were not ready for that type of service. But it is demanding. It puts you on the front line even more. And so I spoke up about one of them and said that I didn't think this person was ready at this time. They weren't in the meeting as we were talking. When they came back in, that person said, well, I thank you for the offer, but at this point in time, I do not feel that I am ready. And I thought, thank you, Lord. You know, because the man realized that he was not ready for this type of service. He was still in preparation. And sadly, one other took on the post. And our meetings at times were, in leadership, were very challenging, weren't they? Very difficult. And it caused this man to backslide and to lose his faith in God. And so it's important. And we as leaders here, we don't have meetings like that. We have meetings that have unity and we move forward together because we have one heart, one goal, one vision, to serve the Lord, to put Jesus first and to see the work being established and lives being changed. And we stand on the Word of God. We stand on the promises and the truth of God. And everything that we say and do has to be linked and locked into this book, the Bible. If it's not, we have an issue, we have problems. And I always say to my church leadership, if there's something you need to say to me, you say it to me. Because we need to make sure that we together are moving forward. And I will also to them, that we move forward together, that we are building the kingdom of God. We're not pulling it down. We're not seeking to destroy it. We're not seeking to bring division. We're seeking to build, to establish, and for each and every one of us to grow up in the faith and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11 goes on to say, the women likewise must be trustworthy, of respect and serious, not gossipers, but temperate and self-controlled, thoroughly trustworthy in all things. Let deacons, verse 12, be the husband of but one wife, and let them manage their children and their households well. For those who perform well as deacons acquire a good standing for themselves and also gain much confidence and freedom and boldness in the faith which is founded on the centers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith, our walk, our abilities are all in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not about how good you are. It's how are we trusting God? How are we walking in relationship with the Lord Jesus? And we need to make sure that we are walking in faith. We're standing on His promises. And we are standing there. And we're pushing forward. And we want to stir up the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about this in our Bible studies. To stir up the gifts in each and every one of us. We want God to begin to minister into us by faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our leaders need to be leading us in those directions and those areas. Being filled with the Spirit. Amen. Filled with that anointing so that they are outpouring. And so we see the qualifications of church leadership. That this was given to Timothy, a young minister, left to run a church. And Paul sent him letters. He went to help him set it up. And then he left him information. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. And so that the work would grow. And that work would develop. You see, the thing is that historically, in the Old Testament, leaders, the priesthood, was all family orientated. Not in the New Testament. It is family orientated in the sense that we are all part of the family of God. And that's the family orientation that we have to take on. And so if we look at that, so the emphasis is not on the pastor's line, but on the Son of God's line. That we're not an Old Testament priesthood, but we are a New Testament priesthood, a holy nation that is set aside for works of service to fulfill the potential that the Lord has brought into this assembly, that people will push through together and the talents and the abilities will flow together in such a wonderful way. You know, these ministries, the part of people's lives, God puts qualities in us to do certain things. I cannot do everything. Some folk might think you can, but you can't. And it's great to have those who will come alongside and who will take part of the strain and the reins and begin to push through with you and take on the loads of other areas that we are in need of. And so we stand together as a living body, a holy body, set aside for service. That, you know, we are spiritually, we have prepared ourselves. We have self-control. We're sociable and gracious. We love to have barbecues and trifles and all those things, don't we? And we socialize in those, but we also socialize around the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God that has brought you and I together. It wasn't the trifle that brought us together, although we love Shirley's trifles, and even Steve's getting up there as well. You know, there's a competition going on at the moment. But it is not it's not the reason of the trifle that we love Shirley. The reason is that because of Christ, the Christ in her is the reason why we love her. And the Christ in us causes her to love, us to love her. And so it's important. And you know, if a leader falls, then it's important that we restore and deal and restore. And leadership is a challenging situation. It's a challenging circumstance at times. You know, eldership, it's to be that of bodily elders. Literally, it means, when it says eldership, it means to be aged men, a few grey hairs obviously, composed men of dignity, wisdom and maturity. So, now maturity does not always come through age. I remember when, yes Charles, I remember that when I joined a company in industry after university, my boss used to say about me that I seem to act quite very maturely for my age. But the thing was, really, was I was taking seriously the responsibilities of the job, and I was responding to that appropriately. So there were times when one needed to be serious about certain things. When you had 70 men underneath you, and you, for the first time in your life, you were having to direct and lead and so on, it's a challenge. And so you need to be focused and serious, and being able to lead and command and direct people in the things that they were doing. So it's important. And today, even today in the church, it's important for us together to be able to lead and to direct and go together in the presence of God. Let's turn to the book of Titus. It's the next book just after Timothy 2. 2 Timothy. And it's Titus chapter 1. And this is really about guidelines for growth in godliness as well. Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Titus, thank you. Sorry, Titus. There's that many T's, thank you. I'm glad somebody's listening to me. Yeah. Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. And this is, well, we'll start at verse 2. And again, this is the letter of Paul to Titus. And verse 4, it says, "To Titus, my true child, according to a common general faith and grace, favor and spiritual blessings, and heart peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this reason I left you behind in Crete, that you might set right what was defective, and finish what was left undone, and that you might appoint elders and set them over the churches, assemblies in every city as I directed you." So here, Paul is leaving Titus with the responsibility of continuing to set up the churches, continuing to establish the church leadership so that it will be a good foundation. And so Paul then continues to give instruction. Verse 6. These elders should be men who are unquestionable integrity and are irreproachable. The husband of but one wife, whose children are well trained and are believers, not open to accusations of being loose in morals and conduct, or unruly and disorderly. For the bishop and overseer, as God's steward, must be blameless, not self-willed or arrogant or presumptuous. He must not be quick-tempered or given to drink or pugnacious, brawling, violent. He must not be grasping and greedy for filthy lucre, financial gain, but he must be hospitable, loving, and a friend to believers, especially to strangers and foreigners. He must be a lover of goodness, of good people and good things, sober-minded, sensible, discreet, upright, and fair-minded, a devout man, and religiously correct, temperate, and keeping himself in hand. He must hold fast to the sure and trustworthy word of God as he was taught it, so that he must be able to give stimulating instruction and encouragement in sound, wholesome doctrine, and to refute and convict those who contradict and oppose it, showing the wayward their error. Verse 10, for there are many disorderly and unruly men who are idly, vain, empty, and misleading talkers, and self-deceivers, and deceiving of others. This is true, especially of those of the circumcision party, who have come over from Judaism. Their mouths must be stopped, for they are mentally distressing and subverting the whole family by teaching what they ought not to teach, for the purpose of getting base advantage and disreputable gain. One of their very number, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, hurtful beasts, lazy gluttons, and this account of them is really true. You know, this was what was happening. People were saying they were accepting Jesus, and then they were bringing with them the old traditions. You know, we're saved by grace. Not my wife. We're saved by the grace of God. We came to faith because of the grace of God and the faith that was given to us. If we looked at the Old Testament, none of us can fulfill the Old Testament 10 commandments. And Jesus made it even more difficult when he said, if you think a wrong thought, you've done it. Well, okay, everybody's out. Because there are times when suddenly a thought comes rushing into your mind and you're like, where did that come from? The enemy just trying to throw something in, trying to just put us off track, trying to just throw us sideways and can bring in condemnation. But praise God for that word, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, and Christ is in them. Hallelujah. And as we're in Christ, we see the work of God flowing in us, moving through us. And so God wants us to have a godly attitude. God wants us to have an attitude of grace so that we can minister. We are going to have people coming in to church who are totally unchurched. Now let's be honest. So those of us that have been in church for some many, many years, that is going to be a challenge. But all we've got to do is love them and guide them gently by the word of God, that we might show them the love of God, and that our life will be a living example, a living testimony, and that they will want to emulate, they will want to be like you, because they see something in you that is godly. They see something in you that is holy. They see something in you that is desirable. And they want it. And what you have got is not what is available in the world today. It all comes through Christ Jesus. It all comes through the Word of God. And we need to be flowing. We need to have that flowing out of us. And people will look at us and see Jesus in each and every one of us. Praise His wonderful name. Let's turn to Titus. Let's just have a look at Titus 12 again for a moment. Titus chapter 2. I've just read that, haven't I? I need to look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. Again there, it lists all these things that we should be. And it lists that God is working through us. You know, the Lord has left for you and for me. He has left us the instruction for all things to be done right and for godliness to be in our lives. And as Paul had spoken to Titus here and shared with him all these things that so often we want our own way, don't we? Ever wanted your own way? I'll speak to you later. And, you know, sometimes our way is not what God wants. It's His way. His plan, His purpose has to be that as He flows through our lives, that the work of God flows in us and moves us forward into the things of God. And so we need to realize that God is moving in our lives, moving us forward and developing us. And so the lessons for us as Christian leaders, you're not called to lead alone. You're not called to lead alone. I'm not called to just stand up here on my own and just lead. It's a fact of leading together, sharing the load, the work. This was a principle that even Paul put into place as they went on missions. There were a number of them went on missions, that they took the work on board and they worked together. And so the Lord wants you and your faith to grow and to rise up. He wants you to become more than what you are now. Wow. He wants you to be greater in the word and in faith than what you are now. God wants you growing and developing. He wants you to that place where you are qualified in the sense of the things of the Spirit, that as a person you are rising up and God wants to give you further gifts. He wants you to take responsibility. And I know some of you are saying, oh, I can't do that, I can't do this, I'm not able to. Don't limit God. No. Don't limit God. The only reason we can't do something is because we've not allowed God to work in us. It's about God working in me. Some of you that remember, I've said historically that if somebody had said to me, one day you're going to be stood on a platform preaching and teaching the Word of God, I'd have said, no way. As a child, I was shy, quiet, reserved. only spoke when spoken to. That's how I was brought up. Wouldn't shout, you know. All I needed was a look to make sure I shut up. That's how my father brought us up. If we stepped out of line, he just gave us that look and we knew that, when we got home, we were in trouble. So it was just a look, wasn't it, that we needed. We didn't need a smacking, you know, to bring us back in line. It was just that look. And he's like, just stepped over the line. And, you know, so, and that sort of lived with you as you grew up through school and that. And so, I was not in for that. I always wanted to be number two. Happy to be number two, just pushing along. And then the Lord pushed me out front somewhere. But then the Holy Spirit came into my life and there was that filling and constant filling. You know, I still love to have people around me. Good people around me are a good safety net. Good people around me, if I trip up, they're going to catch me. They're going to be there and they're going to lift me up. And that's what we do as a church. We should be catching each other and lifting each other up and encouraging one another and helping one another to stand in the things of God and not be afraid to turn around and say, well, I'm struggling with something and I need some prayer, I need some help, and just let God do that work. Because there's times when in the mouths of many witnesses, when people share things and God's, like last Tuesday, it was wonderful to hear how people were growing and they were sharing their situations and circumstances and how God had ministered into them and they'd grown in the Word of God and they were talking about the Bible. And I think back 12 months earlier and they were saying, what's that? What book is that? Where's that? What's Old Testament? What's New Testament? Didn't even know what an index was. Bless them, you know. And now they're like, oh, well, it says in, God said to me in this book, and wow. It's called growth. And we're encouraging one another. And we're standing together in the things of God. And we need to constantly be having godly leaders and growing godly leaders. Because the people that are coming in are going to need some time, and they're going to need probably a lot of time, and it cannot fall to just the few. It needs to be falling to those, each and every one of us, as we are growing in God, and that we are godly leaders. And that's the first thing, that we must be godly leaders, and that our lives will be an example to those coming in. And in that, we should be leaders who can just direct these people. We will be people who are hearing the Word of God, we're hearing the Spirit of God, and we'll be speaking into people's lives. God wants you to be able to communicate His Word. God wants you to be able to communicate His love. God wants to communicate through you in worship, in leading a meeting, in speaking, in praying for people. God wants you to be able to flow in those things, because this is what God has called you for. Jesus did not save you just to sit around. He saved you that you might serve in the kingdom of God, that you might be an effective disciple, disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus. And as some of you may say, well, I'm not there yet. No, that's okay. But aim for something. Aim for something. And as we aim for that growth and that development in our own lives, God will stand by you. God will cause you to grow, cause you to develop. And God will work a work in you that you never expected. Hallelujah. And so these are the qualifications. Some of the qualifications of being a deacon, being an elder in the church. And it is my privilege today to actually ask two members of our congregation, David and Stephen Wiles. David Street and Stephen Wiles to come forward to be ordained as deacons in this body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a privilege. I've known David many years. And there's one thing we always do here is that when someone comes in and joins the church, we say, well, and like I said, known David since 1960s. And it was like, well, David, you'd be welcome, but there's no platform ministry. We want to know that you know where we're going and where you're going, and together we grow together. And so that, because people change. You know, we've not seen each other for a few years, and people change. I'm not saying you have changed, but we have to be on our guard. Paul tells us that we're to be watchful, and that we're not to. Paul tells us not to have somebody that just gets saved, give them the life to Christ, and say, right, stick them on doing this, put them preaching and that. Well, what are they going to preach? They have to be tested, as each and every one of us are to be tested, and test them. And so we have this policy of 12 months, stick around. Be with us. Catch the vision. Begin to grow and show. And, you know, the next thing you know, they're doing things. Next thing they're designing. How are we going to fix this? How are we going to mend this? Let's do this, you know. And then they're driving me then, you know. Pushing me. I'm thinking. But it's been great. And I sincerely appreciate both these men of God. Because that is the truth. These two men are men of God. And they have been brought to us by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. And I thank God for them. And I appreciate them. And I love them dearly. I love all those of our folk that are in leadership. I thank them for the service. For all the work that they have done. Over the many years. Their faithfulness. And their honor. That they've given to Grace and I over the years. I just thank them for that, for the goodness that they have in their lives, and I appreciate them. Might not say this often enough, but I do. I really do, both Grace and I. And we can't, obviously, we can't say it enough, but we do love you, and we thank God for you, because you've kept us and you've strengthened us along our journey as well. When we've had some battles to face, you've stood with us. And we appreciate that and thank you dearly. And we trust that we will continue to stand with you and fight together to see the kingdom of God being fulfilled in each and every one of our lives. So the next part of our service is I would like Stephen and David to come forward, please, as we seek to ordain these two young men. Hallelujah. In the sacred orders of being a deacon. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come and stand here, guys. Straight in front of me. Bless the Lord. My, it's so good. I'm going to ask you a question. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do before that. Ken is one of our elders. He's very quiet at times. He's a good teacher. He sat there at the moment to the back. And Ken, can I ask you something? Do you agree? And are you prepared to recommend these two brethren as deacons in this assembly of believers? You are. Thank you. Let's just pray a moment. Most reverent and holy Father God, on behalf of this congregation right now, we present David Street and Stephen Wilds. And we humbly request that you ordain these persons to the order, to the sacred order of deacons, Father. Anoint them with a greater anointing, Father, than what they already have. Fill them, Father, with your power and presence. Let your Holy Spirit rest upon them, Father, I pray. Let them know, in the name of Jesus, your anointed power. Strengthen them. Keep them, Father. In Jesus' name. I want to ask the congregation you've heard so far. Congregation, do you know these two men to be worthy? Sounds like you've got an agreement. Praise the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dearly beloved, consider what a great office is to be bestowed upon you. It is the duty of a deacon to administer the sacraments of the church, namely baptism, the Eucharist, reconciliation, the anointing of the sick and dying, the sacraments of holy orders being reserved for the bishop. Are you prepared to assume these duties? Yes, thank you. Beloved brethren and sisters, the early church fathers ordained those who were to be dedicated as deacons. The congregation should be consulted. It happens here and there that as to their life and to their conduct of their of these candidates, a few know what is unknown to the majority. Necessarily also, the faith will render obedience to the deacons if they have consented to this ordination. So if you consent to this ordination, you're saying, if they say something to you, you're going to take it as truth. You're going to obey. Wow, that's a challenge in today, isn't it? You know, who do you think you are telling me what to do? I'm anointed and appointed by the Lord. Amen. And these gentlemen here that stood the test of time, they stood on the word. These gentlemen, their faith, they've rendered their faithfulness and obedience as deacons already. They've done the work. They've been doing the work as a deacon already. Yes. You know, you appoint people as they are doing that work. You acknowledge. We're acknowledging today what we see. They've not been forced into anything. They're doing it with great delight and joy because they're doing it as unto the Lord. Amen. And I thank God for their life and for their character. I thank God for the worthiness that is in their life. And they freely make it known. I thank God that they testify their life to the fitness of the office of a deacon. This is not according to merit or kindness or affection, but this is according to their lifestyle, their stance before the Lord. And you know, if anyone has anything against them, for the sake of the Lord, let him confidently come forward and state his objection before all. However, let them be mindful of your own condition. So I'm briefly going to pause and I'm going to say, have you anything against, any reason that these two dear brethren should not be ordained as deacons in the church? If so, speak now or forever hold your peace. Amen. Dearly loved brethren, you are about to be ordained to the orders of deacon. strive to receive it worthily, and having received it, to discharge its duties in a praiseworthy manner. Understanding what you do, practice what you administer. Let your teaching be spiritual medicine for the people of God. Let the odor of your lives be a delight to Christ, so that your promotion to this office may not be a cause of my condemnation, but rather a reward in the kingdom of God. May the Lord, by His grace, grant it to us. I'm just going to pray, anoint you and pray over you. Okay?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
This is such a blessed time. Can you just stretch out your hands towards me, please, initially? Hallelujah. Praise God. Father God, I anoint these hands by the holy anointing and our blessing. Whoever you bless may be blessed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, let these hands, let these lips speak truth. Let them, Father, be like a sharp two-edged sword. And Father, Lord, let the mantle, let the mantle rest upon them, Lord, that anointed mantle rest upon them. Father, I pray you'll take them into a new level of the depth and the measure of your Holy Spirit. And in your word, O God, cause them to grow and flourish in such a wonderful way, a powerful way, Father, like they've never seen before. Just flow over them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I just pray right now that I'm just going to ask the rest of the deacons and elders just to come and join me. Just gather around them. Praise God. Just reach out and lay hands on them at this time. Praise God. As we lay hands on you, as we ordain you, we pray that you would receive the authority to offer the Eucharist, the sacrifice in the Church of the Living God. And that each and every one of you shall receive a fresh and greater anointing for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Father, increase their stature in the things of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, we pray as we laid the hands on them, they shall receive a greater fullness of the Holy Ghost. And that, Lord, the work as a deacon, Lord, in this place shall be, Lord, of a great stature and a great ability. Lord, they shall be filled to overflowing. Father, we bestow upon them the authority to proclaim freedom in the name of Jesus. Amen. To declare that the captives are set free. Amen. That through Christ Jesus our sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. And we give you praise for that. Lord, I pray that the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ will always be upon you. I pray that you will know such a peace and a tranquility of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said,
Amen.
May the blessing of the Almighty God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you, that you might be blessed in the office of a deacon and perform your ministry to the greater honor and the glory of God. And everybody said, Amen, amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome these dear brethren in Jesus' name.